Amen. Good morning to you. What a privilege for us to be here. These have become really dear friends of ours, and their humility and love for Jesus is just amazing. I think you are incredibly privileged. I think to be led by people like this who put Jesus first, you feel safe when it's like that. So just what a privilege. We've been in their home, eating their food and enjoy their company, and just getting to know some of you, even on Friday night as we spend time with your core group. And man, our hearts are blessed. We feel privileged to be here, to worship Jesus together, to be part of what God's doing with you. It's just an incredible thing. And this morning, there's life here. We feel the life of Jesus here. Ali and the band, just well done. Well done. We love it. We love it. Keep going. I think that's an incredible, incredible thing that we can minister to each other as we just simply put our lives before Jesus. Ken, it's nice to see you guys as well. It's going strong. All of you, Michael. We send greetings from our church in Durban. Obviously, since the time we booked the tickets, we've been praying. So I've got a lot I'd want to say. It's more like Jesus helped me to get out of the way. So we want to hear Jesus and not us. But we've been praying for you specifically. We're excited. We're watching this space. We know God is doing something here, something with you. And we're just excited. Thank you for what you're doing for Jesus. We're doing our part in Durban. You need to do your part, and together Jesus gets the glory and we get the job done. But we do need every pair of hands on deck to get the job done. It's a big job that we're part of. It's a global mission that Jesus has got us on. It's not our mission, it's His mission. And every person created in His image counts. It's important. And so we've been in ministry for about 30 years. We feel like we're fresh and new in this. We're learning. Every day we're saying, Jesus, just here's our lives. Do with it what you want so we can please you and be used by you. And some of that we shared with the core group on Friday night. Awesome. So today, the word I felt just this whole weekend for you is just a preparation. And so this morning, the word is being future ready, or are people prepared? And it was so amazing. Some of the scripture I'm going to use, last night I sent my scriptures to Russell. Obviously, we're part of an Ephesians 4 team in CMI, and we work through the local elders here. And so we're submitted to what God's doing here. We're not experts or specialists. We come alongside and build together for the King and His kingdom. And so I sent my scriptures to Russell, and then I said to Ranelle, what are you going to encourage the church with? And some of those scriptures actually tie in so well. So even what was prayed in the prayer meeting. As we came here, there are some things that I understood about the future. When I looked at the weather app, I realized when we landed in Glasgow that the temperature would be around -1. When we left Durban, it was about 30. So there are some things that we know about the future. We know the sun probably is going to come up tomorrow. So there are some things about the future that we do know, but I think there's so many things that are uncertain about the future. So many things we are not in control of. And I've realized also people change so much, you know, that you might say to me, Donnie, you know, if we don't even know what the future is like, how can we be ready for that future? I love this verse. Isaiah 46 verse 10, God is speaking on His own behalf, and He's saying to Isaiah, only I can tell you the future before it happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. NLT, this is God. This is God saying, look, I don't really need your permission. It's not like the future happens to God. It's more like God happens to the future.
Very good. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like God is letting us know what's going to happen in the future. He holds that future in His hands. So it's more than, you know, just the future is going to happen and God's going to let us know what happens. He says, my plan will come to pass and I do whatever I please. I love that when God says that. It gives us confidence. Psalm 33, as we introduce this idea of being ready for the future, I wonder if God's future for me had to just be accelerated and come into my life right now. How ready would I be for it? If God's plan for the church and the nations and the churches, if he just sped it up a bit and brought it into now, how ready would we be together for what it is that God wants to do? And that's the idea this morning. Psalm 33 verse 11, the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, and the purposes of his heart through all generations. And don't you love that scripture? God's a planner. God is a planner, but God also has a purpose that comes from his heart. And it's bigger than just my life and my generation. It goes beyond that. He's sovereign. He holds that future. Now, I know Jesus said to us, well, we shouldn't, when we think about the future, if you're sitting there saying, like, I'm trying to just cope with the now. If you're saying, like, I'm looking right here and it's looking hard, and now you're asking me to look for the future. Of course, Jesus told us that when we think about the future, it shouldn't make us anxious. Matthew 6:34, we know this well. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And so I understand that. I'm not trying to say some people, when they think about the future, they think, if I can just think of every eventuality, then I can feel safe about the future. But for us as the people of God, that's not what gives us confidence. The confidence is that we know the one who holds the future. We don't have to know everything. We don't have to be in control of everything. We just have to know that God's future for us is one that's beyond what you can imagine even right now. It's good. It's plans to prosper us and not to harm us. And so this key scripture then for me, Luke chapter 1 verse 17, even before God sent his son to the earth, he likes things prepared. And so it says here, he will go on before the Lord, talking about John the Baptist, in the spirit and the power of Elijah, which we sang again this morning, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Beautiful. There's a readiness and a preparedness. Do you see that? And what God does is he often sends something ahead that would work in our hearts through his spirit to make us ready. I think a readiness is saying, like, okay, I'm ready to go. It's a yes from me. A preparedness is like an equip. You know, I'm equipped to go. They're two different things. And even when Jesus came, he wanted a people who are ready and prepared for him. We think about eternity, Revelation chapter 19. We sang it this morning, the elders, the creatures, the nations, everyone's there in Revelation 19 making a great noise. And then if you read down the verses, it says, because the bride has made herself ready and the wedding of the Lamb has come. Big part of what we're doing is preparing. This is premarital preparation. So that when the bridegroom and the bride come together, that she can know his voice. When they take that first dance and all of creation is looking at this beautiful bride from every nation, tribe and tongue, who's made for the Son of God, that she is ready and prepared. Amen. And so this is not on the scriptures, but if you read Lamentations, I know when last Russell's preached from Lamentations. But Lamentations chapter 1, I think it's in verse 9, it talks about she did not consider her future. Verse 9, and her fall was astounding. She did not consider her future. If we live our lives not considering the future, it might be when that future comes, we're not in the right place. In Luke, can you remember when Jesus wept over Jerusalem and he said, you weren't ready for your time. I was right here in the city and yet you weren't ready for me. You weren't prepared for me. And so that's my heart. My heart is saying, yes, we don't have to worry about the future. God's got the future. But certainly how I live my life will determine how I fit into that future with God. And I want to be personally, and the churches, we have some influence, and I want to say we want to be ready for what Jesus wants to do on planet Earth right now. We want to be prepared and ready, knowing He's got that future. Amen. Amen. My kids, when they were young, they're now older, 20s, they're older. It's supposed to be easy because Rachel was born in 2000, so she's 26, if my maths is correct. When they were smaller and they went to school, you know, the football coaches would take them aside, the small kids, and say, okay, we've got to do some drills. You know what's drills? Kick the ball, train. And they used to come home and say, oh, Dad, we just want to play the game. We just want to play. Why do we have to do all these drills? But the drills help you to play the game well. And I think sometimes we're like that with God. God, just give me my future. Just, Lord, just bring it on. But God's saying, I'm preparing you for that future, because God always prepares us for what He's about to do. Hope that's coming across well to you. There's this sad story in the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 20, Saul gets this prophetic word. What an amazing word. Samuel comes to him and he says, to whom is all the desire of Israel turned to, if not to you and your father's family? He speaks a word of the future and God's plan for Saul. Remember that? And the whole nation's attention is turned to you and your family. I mustn't move. Apologies. Wow, what a word. And Saul starts this journey really well, but there's this little part of preparation in his heart that he didn't quite deal with. You know, it's like someone told me, like when you, and I'm not a professional at this, but if you make clay and you bake it, there's a process. If you take it out too quickly, it loses its strength. You have to start all over again and do it again. You don't want to get out of that process too quickly, because it's preparing you for. And Saul didn't. There's this little part inside of him that no one could tell on the outside. But as that future came about, you know, I don't think it's the future of God that harmed his life. It's the lack of preparation for that future. When it came, he ended up in jealousy, working against God, in witchcraft and suicide. A man who had this beautiful future ahead of him, not paying attention to the preparation. Is that okay? And so, 2 Peter 3, and then I'm going to make 4 points and we're done. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? And I'm just trying to introduce this idea to us, that knowing there's a future, there surely should be something I'm doing now in preparation for that future. It's biblical. Jesus sent John the Baptist. He spoke about being prepared. And here Peter says also, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destructions of the heavens by fire. The elements will melt in heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, a home of righteousness. Isn't that incredible? The posture is looking forward. The posture is looking forward, and the posture is knowing what's to come. How should I live now in preparation of what's to come? And I love this, that there is a promise of God regarding our future. And isn't it amazing? This kind of seems to think God has his timing, but I can speed it up or I can actually delay it. If you read Hebrews, it says they weren't able to enter because of their unbelief. Isn't that amazing? So God is wanting to do something in Liverpool. God is wanting to do something in this nation. God is wanting to do something in South Africa. I don't think God is a planner. He's an architect. He's got a plan. God's not thinking this is taking him off guard. He's not thinking this is chaos. God has a plan. He does what he pleases. The question is, are we ready for what he's about to do? And are we preparing ourselves to work with him in that time? So, I have four kind of groups of people, and sometimes I put myself in all these groups, but you may know someone like this, or maybe this is for you this morning, and this has helped me. The first group of people are people that live their lives completely unaware that God has a future for them that they play any part in. They just think life happens. And whatever happens, it's kind of random and by chance, and you got to go along with it. But there's nothing you have to do to prepare for God's future. And my prayer for people like that is that they hear God speak to them. That they hear God speak. How's this verse in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5? Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I set you apart. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Here's a question for you. Which came first, Jeremiah or the plan? It's amazing. And that so speaks to me. I pray for people who are just living their lives thinking like, this is it. This is my life. I'm saying, you know, before you were even born, God has a plan for your life. If you can just become aware of that, if he could just speak a word and you could understand that, it would change your life. Now, I'm not praying for these kind of people like me. That was me at some point. I just lived my life. Now, I'm not saying go and find a plan or make a plan. Or copy someone else's plan. I'm saying no, be aware God has a plan. And you know, Psalm 16 verse 5, the Lord, you have assigned my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I want to say that there is a portion that is yours that is not for anybody else. No one is fighting for that piece of pie. It's only you that can step into it or not step into it. And so I think for when we go along and we find people just living their lives, even in Jesus, not aware God has a plan, we're going to pray, Lord, make them aware. You had a plan before they were even born. The plan is not because of our past or how we deserve it or what we're doing or anything like that. God has a plan. Because he loves everything he creates. And nothing is by chance. I mean, you know that you would know the scripture, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Even what we're supposed to do, God has prepared it. Yes. It's amazing. And I've begun to say, Lord, help me to live my life like this every day. You have a plan for me, and that plan fits into your purposes and your plans that you're going to work out. Make me aware of that. Simply because God has created you, and he's kind and compassionate. He looks down at us, and he sees his image in us, and he delights in us, and he has a plan for us. Not a soul on earth God doesn't have a plan for.
Very good.
Isn't that amazing? Not one person that before they were born, God hasn't got a plan for them. Lord, I pray that we would be aware and know what your plan for our lives is. So the second group of people are those who maybe know God has a plan for them, but they've got no idea what it is. And I believe that God has spoken about his plan in his word. And my prayer for these people is that they would begin to devour the word of God. That they'd begin to see the big plan of God. Because God has a big, big plan. It spans over generations. And if you read your Bible, you find out that God's plan is kind of progressive. You know, in the Old Testament, what God promised to Noah still applied to Abraham. And what God promised then to Abraham still applied to Moses, and Moses to Joshua. And if you were a Levite and you were born in the Old Testament and you were a Merarite, as you were born, you understood that the purpose of carrying these posts in the tabernacle, that's what you were born for. It was, you're born into God's big plan. And as you fulfilled your plan, the presence of God came in the nation, and the nations of the world saw God's presence, and God's big plan was fulfilled. We said this at the leaders' meeting in Acts 7 when Stephen preaches about Moses. He says, at the time when God fulfilled his promise to Abraham, 400 years later, Moses was born. Isn't that crazy? Moses born into God's big plan. It wasn't like Moses was born and he was like, ah, Lord, please can you find a plan for me? We think, you know, when we get saved, Lord, please give me, what is your plan for me? What is your plan? Before we were born, God had a plan. And it fits into his plan. And if we read through his word, he's revealed his plan. I said earlier, if you look at the New Testament, where all of history is going, I tell you where it's going. It's a bride prepared for the Son of God. That was always the plan in the Garden of Eden. Always the plan. The only way that's going to happen, he's given us instructions, is for us to make disciples, followers of Jesus, people who know his ways, who know his word, who know his works, who know his voice, who follow Jesus of all nations. That's the last thing he said when he left. The only way that's going to happen is for us to have local churches like this in every place, every village, every town, because that's how disciples are made. And the only way we're going to have churches like New Testament churches like this in every town and village and city is if we raise up leaders. And the only way we're going to raise up leaders is if the priesthood stands up and everyone's equipped. And the only way we're going to have a priesthood is if we reach the lost. That's the plan.
Very good.
Reach the lost. Raise up priests. Train up leaders. Plant churches. Make disciples. Prepare the bride. And so if you've got no idea what God's plan for your life is, get into the big plan and he'll show you the details. The third group of people, you're doing all right. You're good. Third group of people are those who understand God has a future for them. They know what that future is, but they've given up on that future. And again, like I say, you may be in some of these categories or groups at different times. I find myself, sometimes I've got to remind myself of this. But you may know someone also that you can help. And yeah, these are people who know God has a future for them. They know, you know, they've trusted, they've prepared for it, and nothing's happened for a long time. And, you know, they can feel that maybe they've missed God. Maybe they've missed it. Maybe they've let God down. The excitement's gone. And the burden of just daily grind, kind of the hardships and the challenges, they've just said, I don't think that's possible still. In Exodus 5, you remember when God said to Moses, go speak to Pharaoh, and he goes. And he says, let God's people go, let God's people go. And there's this verse here in verse 22. Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? How's his language? Sometimes to do what God wants you to do seems to bring more trouble. He says, is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon these people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Like, Lord, I've done everything. You talk about this great future and preparing a bride and making disciples and planting churches and raising up a priesthood and reaching the lost, and I've been plugging into this, Lord, but you've done nothing.
What?
Huh? Doesn't it feel like that sometimes? Wow, Lord, I'm trying really hard. I know you're coming back. I know we've got to, you know, I know I'm pushing in, but I don't see any result. And I love what God says to Moses, because for that category of people, I feel, and I maybe feel like there's some of you in the room today, God wants to show his power. You know, he says in chapter 6, the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. And because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of this country. You know that the odds don't scare God. If I ask you this question, Is it easier to take 72 slaves out of a country or 2 million? Just logistically.
72.
So God, why didn't you just take them out when there were just a few? Why have you delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed? Because, you know, the odds don't scare God. 2 million, 72, same thing to God. He'll just open the sea, you know, bring water from the rock, manna from it. I'm amazed, because sometimes I say to God, God, you know, it's harder now for you to do what you promised than it was then. You never had that in your life? You had a chance to do it, Lord, when it was so easy. You could have just taken 72. Now, Lord, it looks impossible. Maybe I've missed it, or you know, nothing's changed from God's side. He just says to Moses, nothing's changed. I'm just going to show you my power. And I believe for those who understand God has a will and have maybe given up, that this is a season for God to show you a revelation of what he can do. Because in a moment, God can change all the pieces on a chessboard. It's not harder now for God to do what he promised than it was back then. It doesn't scare him. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that encouraging? Thank you, Lord, for your power. And so my prayer for us is that we'd be aware that God has a future and we play a part. Secondly, I pray that we'd have some understanding of God's big plan so that we can be useful. You don't have to go to God to ask some plan outside of his plan. He loves his church, you know. It's the vehicle he's put in place to bring the kingdom on earth. It's just the way God works. We're not going to change that. He's committed to his plan. He knows what he's doing. If I was God, I might have chosen someone other than me to be a part of bringing his kingdom on earth. But he's chosen it. He's not put off by my weaknesses. It seems to just bring him more glory. But he's going to do it anyway. There will be a bride. She will be ready. I want to be part of it. So my prayer then for that third group of people is, Lord, give us as your church a revelation of your power in a moment. You know how God works? In the book of Acts, I mean, there's 120 people in a church and God adds 3,000. I think, no, Lord, that's the wrong way around. Surely you add 120 to 3,000. But Jesus, before he goes, prepares 120 people to receive 3,000 visitors. In a day, God can change everything. Everything. And maybe today you just need a bit of faith again to hear God can do whatever he pleases. He doesn't need our permission. He holds the future. He does whatever he pleases, because all the power, and Russell said it several times today, he's sovereign. Sovereign. He's not doing it because I so deserve it and I've been so faithful and I'm working hard. No, he does what he pleases. Best for me to get behind his plan and to understand. I pray that God would encourage you and show you his power again in an incredible way, that we would believe, Lord God, as long as we are doing what you're telling us to do like Moses, that you will do what's impossible. You'll dismantle a world power like Egypt and drown the armies in the sea in a day. And we'll never even see them again. They'll never even feature in history again. Because you just, okay, done. World power, Egypt in those days, saying, top military. God just says, okay, I'm done, move on. Not even, I don't think God even broke a sweat doing that. It was just, that was my plan all the time. He says to Pharaoh, I've raised you up for my own purpose. You read that? My own purpose. Our God is amazing. He's incredible. Let's not forget who makes the plans. He makes the plans. He makes the plans. And then the last group, or I don't know if it's a group or a, you know, just kind of place we can find ourselves in, are those who are about to step into something that's not just going to change one part, but it's going to change everything. We do travel a bit, but I feel like the church of God is at that place right now. He's about to change something that's going to change everything. Not just one thing. You know, when you're driving, these days most of the cars are automatic, but if you're driving a manual and you're in that first gear and the revs are high, you can put more effort behind it. Doesn't really give you more speed. But when you change that gear and the revs drop and the speed picks up, it's like it's a whole new gear. It's a whole new gear. And I'm trusting God that there's a whole lot of us. And I want to remind you of that key scripture. The preparation is turning hearts. Preparation is not about always practical things like the world thinks. It's about leaning more into Jesus. I'm more prepared for the future when I'm more dependent on God. Simple as that. Why? Because He holds the future. Not because I'm somehow know what the future is and I can get myself ready for the... No, my confidence is this. There's this spirit, we sang about Elijah, going on ahead before the Lord, turning hearts of disobedience to obedience. Okay, Lord, I'm just going to obey. Okay, Lord, I'm just going to lean into You. Okay, Lord, I just trust You've got this. Okay, Lord, I just believe You have the power. Okay, Lord, You hold the future. I'm leaning into You. That's the preparation God's looking for. Not, dare I say, doomsday preparation. Where, Lord, we just want to make it. We just want, no, leaning into Him. As we see Him working in the nations, as we see Him working in people, as we see His power begin to manifest through His people, we're leaning into Him. Oh, we're prepared for a glorious future. Glorious future. God has a way of preparing me for that. It's a yieldedness. It's a deep understanding of His workings. And it's just it's almost a simplicity. You know, when Jesus came, it was the simplicity of believing that saw the power of God manifest in people's lives. Everybody who tried to figure it out missed it. And yet wherever John went and he said, repent for the kingdom is coming. Repent for the kingdom is coming. Wherever John went and Jesus preached, people got saved. Why? Because their hearts were prepared. Amen. So God has a way of preparing us, and you're not going to like it. God has a way of preparing me, and I'm not going to say I don't like it in case He hears me, and then I need more preparation. But James chapter 1 verse 2 says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Remember, understand the scripture. It's not saying be happy that things are going bad. Doesn't make sense to me. It means rejoice because no matter what you're going through, the plan of God is not subject to what you're going through. God can still work in you while you're going through it. That's the rejoicing. Oh, it's not thank you, Lord, that it's going so terrible with me. I don't subscribe to that. I don't. But in the trial, I can say, Lord, Your plan is not on pause. Yeah. It's not. Even when things are going bad, Lord, it's not like You put Your plan aside. I know who holds the future. When You make a plan, it's going to happen. That's the rejoicing. That's the confidence. And so it's more a question of, okay, Lord, what are You doing then in me to prepare me for that future? Not, oh, please, Lord, take me out, take me out, take me out. Make this end. You know, someone once said, when you're going through a trial, it's like you're walking along and you can see, hey, this is not looking good. And there's this one side door over here and you think like, oh, that's it. I'm just avoiding that. Going, and you take this turn off and you think, oh, thank goodness, God forgot about that. And you carry on. And 2 years, hey, you're in the same place again. Because God is putting me through that because He knows there's something in it for me. So James says, you know, the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so you may be mature and not lacking anything. Consider it joy when you face trials of many kinds. I've learned God can custom build my trial. Exactly what I need. Sometimes I think like no one understands what I'm going through, honestly. No one, not a soul. Well, he does, and he custom built it. It's so custom built for me. Thank you, Lord. You see, preparation means, okay, I lean into you, Lord. I lean into you, I trust you. Trust you. And you know, perseverance is not that word. Someone else could probably do a better job of this, but perseverance is not survival. It's to be cheerful, or cheerful endurance and consistent, patient continuance. So it's like, Lord, if I'm patient in it and I'm consistent in it, then the trial begins to do some work on me. It's beginning to work on me. And if I will stay there long enough, it will put something into me. Sometimes I'm not even aware that I need this for my future, but God knows. And he's putting it into me to make me complete. And I want to say this to you if you're facing a trial. And I'm not a prophet, but I can prophesy this, that you may have 99% of the things in your life going right, but there's one thing that's not going so well. What is it that God's doing? I pray that after today you just realize, you know what? We have an incredible God. Nothing's changed from his sight. He's made his plans. Prepare yourself. And if you're going through something difficult, it's probably because God's adding something for you that's going to be important for your future. And so I love this scripture, and we may land with this here. 2 Timothy 2:20, in a large house. My father's house is a large house, Jesus said. Large house. There are articles not only of gold or silver, but also of wood and clay, some for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy and useful to the master, prepared to do any good work. I've been so challenged by this scripture. The first thing I see there is if a man cleanses himself. Now, I know this man is deep in the scriptures, has served Jesus for a long time, and he will know this, that there is only one thing that cleanses me from sin, and it's not myself. It's the blood of Jesus. There is nothing that can cleanse me from sin except the blood of Jesus. So when this is talking about cleansing, you know, even sanctification is something God does. This is talking about under pressure, holding on to the right things and letting go the right things. That's the cleansing. It's not necessarily sin. It's not necessarily, you know, that I'm being sanctified. It's a preparation for what is to come. And what I love about this is it says, like, you know, if I'm going through a trial and I'm saying, Lord, what are you doing in me? What do I need to let go? What do I need to take a hold of? I become more useful to God for any good work. Which means if God's saying, I want to move in Liverpool, what he's saying is, who's useful? Who's prepared? Who's leaning into me? Who's obedient? Who's trusting in me? Who knows what that future is like? I can use anybody like that. It doesn't matter who you are. I don't think God says, like, okay, Donnie, you're so special, I'm going to use you for that. I think God more says, I'm working. Do you want to be part of it? Let's prepare you for that. And we work together with Jesus. I pray for you. You know, I really believe I'm going to land there. And I pray, maybe this is personal for you. Maybe today you're saying, like, I didn't know that the reason you're here, even in this community, in this church, is not by chance. For you're born, God had a plan. You're included in it. Maybe today, if you've got no idea what that plan looks like, or even if you've given up on that plan, I pray for God to show you his power. But most of all, I pray, keep ongoing. Keep on going. Because God, in a moment, can change everything. And everything we're going through right now will be our preparation for that moment. We don't want to miss it. We don't want to waste time. We want to say, Lord, we're paying attention to what you're doing in our hearts because you want to entrust us with more. I want to speak the life of God over you and say there are many in this city who are going to come to know Jesus because you're here. There are many that are going to be discipled because you're here. There are many nations that are going to be touched and blessed because you are here. But let's work with God as he prepares us as the church. Shall we pray? Would you be able to stand if that's all right? If you're comfortable sitting, I'm more than comfortable with that also. Thank you for opening your hearts to us. But more so, thank you for opening your hearts to Jesus. And if you need to just take a moment to think about this and say, Lord, maybe I've just haven't been intentional enough about the way I live my life. Maybe you need to make that adjustment this morning. I think of those mighty men that followed David before he was king, and they knew he was going to become king. Those men would have been with him when he was ordained as king, and everyone knew he was king. It's a bit like us. We know Jesus is coming. We know he's the King of Kings. We follow him now. One day, yes, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, but for now, we follow him no matter what goes on around us because we know his kingdom is coming. Maybe today you've given up on the plan of God for your life. You know what he's called you to. You know, even in the local church, Jesus said, whatever you do to others, it's like doing it to me. The closest thing we have to Jesus is his body. And the church is like his body. Whatever we do, whatever we serve, whatever we commit ourselves to. That's his plan through his church to make known the manifold wisdom to the powers and principalities. Maybe today, if you're discouraged, you need to just say, hey, Lord, I remember your power. I remember how you drowned the chariots of Pharaoh. In a moment, history was changed. Amen. Remind us of your power again. And then today, if you may be just going through a trial, that perseverance to say, Lord, I'm not going to be put off. I'm not going to change course. I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to press through because you're doing something in me that's needed for my future. Father, I pray for this church gateway. I pray for the elders, the leaders, the people here. Thank you, Lord, that we are included in your great plan. Thank you that you're the one that makes the plans. Thank you that your plans are not just from your mind, but they serve the purposes that come from your heart. And thank you, Lord, that your purposes stand for all generations. What a thing, Lord, to be part of something that's eternal. Lord, will you encourage us again today in your power, your authority, your wisdom, your knowledge, your foreknowledge, your might and your power, your glory, the nobleness of being called by Jesus to follow him and be part of his bride. Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus, will you open their eyes in Jesus' name? We pray for all these people, Lord, that go about their business every day unaware that you have a plan for their lives even before they were born. Open their eyes, we pray. Speak to them, Lord. Speak to them. Even through us, Lord, let us be your hands and feet and mouth, Lord. Speak to the people in the city. You have a plan that's eternal for them. Break into their lives, we pray, Lord. Bring them into the church, Lord, your plan. Plug them in, Lord. And Lord, we pray, release your power and your glory in the church, that the nations would know there is no other God like our God who's risen from the grave and reigns forever and ever and comes again to take his bride home. We pray for this. Thank you for everyone here that has been faithful to the call of God, to the plan and the purpose that you've called them. Lord, make our hearts as the church yielded, humble, reliant on you. Yes. We may not know everything, Lord. We may not know all the details about the future, but we know the one who holds the future, and we build our lives upon him. That's our security and safety. We don't have to fret. We don't have to worry. We have peace in you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.